Acts 20 and 17. The book of Acts 20 and 17. This is a testimony of Paul's journey, an event, a place in his life that he had to come to, a journey of faith. Listen very close to the Word of God. Acts 20, verse 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. You may be seated." Tremendous passage of scripture we read in your hearing. An event in the Apostle Paul's life. And also, I believe, an event in the men, the elders of Ephesus, and also to them that were with him in Asia. Now, he had sailed past Asia, Ephesus. He had come on to where he was now in Asia, and he's fixing to, if you will, to make his way on to Jerusalem. I believe in the wisdom of God that God had him to pass by Ephesus, and then he just called to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And I in my thinking on this, and I pray that God would touch our thinking as we look at this, that many times as we follow the Lord, we don't need, if you will, weak emotions to get in the midst. Paul was on a journey for God, and I pray today that as you hear the Word of God, that you might be able to exclude your natural job that you have in this life, your natural ambitions that you have for yourself in this life, but look and examine the journey of your faith. Where is it that you're going with God? I'll tell you, I believe this. I believe that many times that the devil gets to dealing with us just to try to, if you will, survive our natural lives in this world, that we don't find ourselves working so much for God as we do working for ourselves. We got a vision for our outward man. We make plans, my friend, and we even, if you will, have great expectations of how easy this outward man's going to have it. And we never, ever really see what we're doing for God. when beyond any shadow of a doubt, I think this too, that in our minds we know that we're going to have to face God and give an account to what we've done for Him and with Him. The Apostle Paul, he had been in Asia over here now for 3 years. My friend, he was able to speak to the elders of the church. Them, my friend, who had been put in places of authority. Them who by the signification of the Holy Ghost and sanctification by the Spirit of God upon their lives, they were set as elders of the church. He's speaking to them. I see this as God speaking to somebody who knows. Somebody that because of what they've heard, and my friend, there is now a responsibility. I pray, dear Lord, this morning, friend, that in your heart and in your life, that you have got a ministry you're working on for God. But some of us need to get into the ministry field. Well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. Let me tell you something, friend. Friend, you've got your own little role you need to be a cleaning out. You've got somebody in your life that you can touch more than anybody else. Mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, neighbors, acquaintances. I don't mean to make anything derogatory, but this is just the honest case of it. You will never know what God's got in store for you until, my friend, you are willing to be obedient unto Him no matter what He says. That you're willing to mind Him, my friend, and be, if you will, in subjection to His every unction of life. I run into a man the other day at Sam's to stop to get gas. Me and this little man had a marvelous time in the Lord for just a moment. All because of what small words come out of his mouth and what small words come out of my mouth. At the gas pumps, open the door. He's getting out of his car. I speak, good morning, how you doing? I'm doing great. I said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. He said, amen. And just for just a few small words, we have a most blessed time. He come around the pump, said, I want to shake your hand. I said, no, I want to shake yours. Friend, understand something. In the smallest of ways, in the most minute avenues of our life, I believe God's got a blessing for you. But we must be willing to live in subjection to Him. The just shall live by faith. But faith without actions, faith without works, my friend, faith is just a byword in our mind. Where is the activity of faith in our life? This man is fixing to go to Jerusalem. He's a servant of the Most High God. Wrote 90%. And my friend, if not more, 80% of the New Testament. A man that lived in complete subjection unto God because of the ministry that had been committed unto him. He testified to a king, I have not neglected the heavenly vision. And I fear sometimes in our lives, we see the vision of our outward man and we never tend to the vision of the inward man. We get engulfed because of what and how we think people see and perceive us. This man was so, thank God, so engulfed in his ministry and his labor for the Lord. He wasn't concerned with what was going to befall him to this outside man. Listen to the word of God. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, who were the Jews to Paul? They were his own people. There's many of you here this morning that are relatives, uncles and sisters and brothers and brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws and all of these attributes. You're kin.
My friend, Paul's own kin lied in wait for him. Lied in wait for him. Now, I promise you, I'm not trying to bring division, but would bring unity of the Spirit. But listen to me very much. Friend, understand this and tell that our lives are so dedicated unto God that it doesn't matter what the kinfolk of our world think. It's a matter of what God Almighty thinks. But there's some that I've lived to see in this generation, they would not dare forsake family versus standing for God. I've seen it. It's in my family and it's in your family. I've seen it divide and separate whole houses because people would lean more to their kinship in this natural outside man than their internal relationship to a living God. He said, with tears and temptations. Tears and temptations. In your ministry, that God has called you to do. Where is our tears? Have they been such a load placed in front? Have we got such a vision from God that's what's laying right at our feet and we are obligated to work at because of the duty of our soul unto Him? And my friend, who saved us and purchased us with His own blood. And my friend, have we wept over what He's put in front of us to do? No, I tell you what we want lots of times. We want this outside man pacified for what he's having to face and what he's going through and what he's up against. Well, there's people in hard trials, Mike. There's people that's up against the whole lot. We need to understand. Let me tell you something. Sin is to blame. And when we allow sin to come into our lives, when we permit sin, my friend, I promise you many times, that's the way of a transgressor, and it brings great affliction. Let's go further with this. I promise you, my friend, because we live righteous and holy unto God, that's not going to promise you a life and a flowery bed of ease. That's not what we're preaching. But my friend, when the things don't go so well with the flesh, now listen to me, stay with me. When things don't so good go well and good with the flesh, well, we think there's something wrong spiritually. We see somebody go through a bad trial and heartache and sorrow, and my friend, and then we think, well, that person surely done something very bad. That's not biblical. It's not Bible. But listen to me. The sin that brings the corruption is the very doubts and dispensation and not having the confidence in the God in whom we're serving. Amen. We should not doubt what God has commissioned us to do. We should not doubt, my friend, of the aim and the purpose of the mission and wherein that God has placed us. Hesitation in combat will get you killed. I made a statement the other day. It came out of my mouth before I realized that. But I began to think upon it. And my friend, I promise you this. You will find yourself very lacking when you depend upon the mercies of others. But if we'll depend upon the mercies of God, I'll tell you there's great reward. If we depend upon the mercies and the grace of God, my friend, to supply and to supplant those things in which we are not able, I promise you that God is able to abundantly supply. But this sin of doubt, this sin of unbelief, I honestly think that if you get your mission, that God has called you to do, my friend, whether it be first and foremost to be a prayer warrior, and my friend praying a hole into heaven, and my friend for the Word of God to have its free course in the congregation of the righteous, in the assembly of the born again, and my friend that we might see the greater moving power of God. That's first and foremost. And then they are those who need to be saved. These elders were the ones responsible for feeding the flock of God. Well, preacher, that's your job. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. You can feed them that are around you and you don't even realize that you're feeding them. You can. But my friend, you're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to, my friend, come to the house of God, come to the battlefield, ready for the fight of faith. Was David ready to go out and meet Goliath? My friend, while everybody was looking at, here comes up a little shepherd. Did it look like he was ready to go to war with a giant? By what you've seen on the outward man, no, you wouldn't think so. But my friend, when he heard this giant of the Philistines curse the armies of a living God, he wanted to know, who's going? And everybody just dropping their heads. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen right here. Somebody go to testify, heads go down. I'll tell you where your ministry's at. Your ministry's in the mirror. There's where your ministry lies. And the figmentation of your imagination of what people think about you religiously. My God in heaven, may we become blind to the world and our eyes open unto God. And my friend, our heart heavy with the souls of them. And my friend, who perceive in their natural conscience that they're all right with God, but yet there is no evidence that they have any type of mission work for the Lord. And my friend, they never, and my friend, find their lives but put it in a place that they don't count it dear unto them. And that's all they ever live to serve. And my friend, but to lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. And the Bible says, he that seeketh his life shall lose it. He that loses it for my name's sake shall find it. And my friend, it's a sad day we live. How when souls of men are plunging into hell. And nobody's got a vision to see them saved. God help my life. God help me to see the mission that's right in front of my face and be willing to suffer with tears and temptations and the wickedness that would befall my life by those who lie in wait. Oh, I promise you, for the children of God, I've seen the liars in wait. They're just sitting on the edge to wait to see what happens. What he says about this, what she says about that. I've seen it, my friend, on the very look of their complexion. It may even sometimes they'll pretend that they're not listening, but oh, my friend, when something like that happens, you can see it in there. They just perk up. Wait a minute, what was that? But it's not spiritual. It's carnal and it's physical. It's not meant to help, but my friend, if you dug it up and found the roots of it, it's not a weed, it's a tear. And it'll make your heart weep. Because Jesus said, if this light which be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? We have a whole multitude there today. This man, my friend, had a heart for a mission that God had put him on. And my friend, even the reality of serving God, the Holy Ghost had signified to him that, my friend, when he got up to Jerusalem, there was nothing but bonds that awaited him there. And my friend, if we see that we're going to be brought into bonds in somebody's consciousness, we see that we're going to be brought into bonds in somebody's social realm of life, we see that we're going to be prisoned up and they won't want to have nothing to do with me. And my friend, let me tell you something. I want to finish my course. I see my death day coming. I don't want the flesh to hinder me. I want the joy of knowing I got to labor where he put me. I don't want to leave it for somebody else to do. Well, people work and till in the flesh that their children might have something when they're gone. You know what they're going to do? They're going to fight over it. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to fight over it. I won't mind. My goodness. What are we leaving spiritually for our children? What are we leaving spiritually for the house of God? Paul goes on to warn them. He says, I know when I leave, there's going to be some wolves coming in. You can read this right on down through there. That's what he says. My friend, he's warning them beforehand. In our heart and in our life, and in your soul personally before God, have you really been laboring toward the vision that God has placed you on? Or have you counted your life dear to yourself? Oh, the Jews counted their religious reputation as something great. This man became a curse in the very mouth of his people for the cause that Christ had put in his heart. In the kingdom of God, listen to me. Sister, there's no husband and wife in heaven. There's one husband and there's one wife, and that's the bride of Christ. Flesh and blood ain't going in. Mommy and daddy, grandma and grandpa, my friend, they are just the vessels on the outside. But my friend, there's somebody that's on the inside, and they ought to be working for God. Why? Because the dead is reckoned to grace. My goodness, I got the greatest thing that could ever happen to me. God saved my soul. And then I don't owe him anything. I don't owe him a thank you for saving me. I don't owe him a thank you that you saved me in all the journeys of this world. I tell you, we ought to be willing to spend and be spent. We ought to be willing to exhaust this body, this mind, this consciousness, our heart's desires, our prayers unto God, that somebody else might have the same thing that God gave us. Encourage to the war. My friend, not to look around before we look up. Listen on. Serving the Lord with all in humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Listen to me, child of God. Soldier of the cross, great comrade in this fight of faith. They're going to be fiery darts come to you and I, and they're not going to originate from the bar down the road. And that's not going to originate, my friend, from the drug dealer. And they're going to be fiery darts entering into our hearts and lives, and it's going to come from the very house wherein we're standing. It's going to happen. Had a funeral yesterday. My friend and I had several that came by and shook our hand and thanked us for the service, but it was absolutely amazing. Those that should have enjoyed it absolutely despised it. Friend, I promise you, if you're going to be a friend to Jesus, you're going to find out that this world hates you vehemently. It might be your uncle. It might be your aunt. It might be your grandma. It might be your grandpa. But what are you willing? I tell you what, I see too many people in love with the outward appearance instead of the inward appearance. God help us. Listen on. The Word of God, where is our ministry? Listen on. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. In the ministry that God has placed you on, if you consider yourself an aged person in God, if you consider yourself someone who knows the leaders, let me ask you, have you had to give somebody something that was profitable to them, but unprofitable to you? Think about it. There's been a few times I've had to say some things to people that didn't make me very popular in their lives. It wasn't profitable for our relationship on the very instant of the moment. But it was profitable unto them. They needed to hear it. It was of necessity that they wipe the smoke off the glass. My friend, that in our heart and in our life, and my friend, in this great work and labor of love wherein that God may have commissioned your soul to work and to live, it may not be a joyous thing many times to the flesh. Listen on, the Word of God. Where's your ministry? He says, how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Now I know that the church were in the very houses, but let's you and I apply the Word of God to us today, publicly and from house to house.
Now, in my heart and in my mind, I believe we could relate this, and I'm not trying to change or misconstrue the Word of God, but from house to house, whether or not we gather here, whether or not we gather, my friend, with Brother Paul or Brother Jonathan, or whether at Crossroads, and my friend here, or wherever, from house to house we are, we ought to be the same. Ought to be the same. And publicly, if I'm not the same person, my friend, on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, you don't need me here Sunday. If I'm not as interested in serving God on Monday, then why am I going through the motions on Sunday? Are we zealous for the Lord just on Sunday? Or are we zealous for God on Monday? Where's the mission at? Where's the place of labor that you know that God has commissioned you? I'll tell you what we got today. We want the preacher to do it all, and when he needs some help, call on the deacons. You know what it ought to be? You're going to love me now. Deacons ought to be taken care of, and when they need some help, there ought to be some men and women in the congregation they can call on. My duty, according to the Word of God, is to preach you the Word of God. That's it. I'm not supposed to visit the sick. I'm not supposed to, my friend, have to worry about visiting the lost, though I do at times. My friend, I am to solely preach you the Word of God. That's what the book says. I've heard the whispers. He never calls. I didn't know I'd go there. Don't cost you a dime. I ain't hurt you. God knows in my heart, I want to follow every impression He gives me. Because I've got a ministry. And I find it on my feet right here many times. The magnitude of what's laying before us. Because I might be looking at a congregation of 28 to 34 on an average, and my friend, but I look back and I see hundreds Wayne in your family, hundreds Ricky in your family, hundreds men in your family, hundreds in your children, hundreds of them that must have somebody praying for them. God, help our hearts. I loved our Sunday school class. He has concluded us all under sin. Ricky, your people ain't no more sinners than mine, son. Wayne, David, Lloyd, men all over the house, your people are no more wicked than mine. And mine is no more wicked than you. And there's one precursor to salvation, and that's being lost. And if we can get them lost, we can get them saved. And if God can save them, God can keep them. Is there anything too hard? This man for 3 years working with his own hands, laboring in the houses, and my friend, and publicly has preached to them the Word of God. And now he has to go. And he's going to a place that the Spirit of Truth has showed him multiple times. There's only thing that waits you there is bonds. The further I go, I hope the least we have in this world. The further we go, the less of the world we should be like, and the more like God we should become. Do you understand the growth of wheat? When wheat is sown into the ground, my friend, it will spring up, and as it begins to grow, as it reaches its harvest time, the roots of that wheat will begin to let go of the earth. And upon this, my friend, the husk that's around what you and I eat begins to dry and break apart and bow down. So that's on the inside can come to the outside. And my friend, right when it's just ready to come out of the hull, if you will, it's harvest time.
So in our lives, my friend, are we dying more and more and truly dying? And my friend, not just this body getting older, and not just my hair getting grayer, not my body getting feeble, but my friend, the very spirit of the carnal mind, and the willingness to live and feed itself, and my friend, the willingness to justify its own wretched cause, is that what's dying, God granted? And let the inward man be just about to bud, bring forth and cause that that's on the inside to go out to somebody's life. Is it happening in your ministry? Is that what's really going on in your religious life? Or are we so engulfed with what we're going to do for this outside man? His aim, his goal, his ambition, what he needs so he can live in ease. He's on his way to Nero's chop block. When they pulled him out of the dungeon, when they pulled him out of the prison in Rome, and they said, "You're going to the chop block today." When they lifted him up out of that dung pit, you know what he did? He run to the chop block. My friend, I fear we count our lives much more dear than we would like to admit. We esteem this outward man, his physical condition immediately, his projected prognosis indefinitely, what he's going to eat, where he's going to sleep, how's he going to look when he puts it on, how's he perceived in the minds of men. I fear that we perceive, my friend, a whole lot more about our outward man than we see about our inward man. If you're saved. Now, there's some that's never even considered what you're hearing today. Because you have perceived in your mind that it's all according to the works of this outward man. No, I tell you what, my friend, your heart can be laboring for God so abundantly, and you sitting so still, that my friend, that the power of God is signifying that it's witnessing to your heart. I told some men this the other night. In the journey of this faith, in preaching the gospel, I'm well overdue at an eye visit. My prescription is very weak to what my eyes need now. But I love to see faces light up when I see the Spirit of God start speaking to them. I have found this one of the greatest blessings of preaching the gospel. It's when that, my friend, it's not a matter of somebody sitting erect and looking at you with their eyes open and it appears that they're paying attention. But my friend, it even goes beyond the physical setting up in the chair and the nodding of the head or the raising of the hand. It's the complexion of the soul. When you see the Word of God going in and you see the life made happy because God is preaching to their heart and they realize that God has allowed them one more time to be instructed by the Holy Ghost. And He is teaching us one more thing. Let me run. God, help my soul. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God. When was the last time you told yourself you needed to repent? And honestly, before God, you come to the place of the knowledge and the understanding and the full comprehension that I need to repent. Or where was it in the journey of your prayers last week that God led you around to the souls that we have imagined in our mind and our conscience getting saved? Where have we found ourselves imagining that, oh God, oh Holy Ghost of heaven, would you lead on to repentance? Bye!
You're going to have to deny self. He'll have to be nailed to the cross. And if God, I can't cry for you to break their heart, then God, you break mine till I can. Well, we don't want this. I don't want to be worried about too much now, preacher. I'm happy to go lucky. Yeah, your spirituality reflects it. I like to have a good time now. Boy, I tell you what you like. You like feeding that flesh. Because I've seen the spiritual plate set before you. I've seen the Holy Ghost set it right down there in front of you. And I've seen him fill it to the brim. And I've seen you look at it. But they've been few I've seen pick up and eat. Why, preacher? Because when you eat this down in your life, it's going to change you. When this gets down into your body, it's going to change your life. Well, I don't need to change, preacher. I'm okay. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What a verse. What a verse. Repentance toward God. We broke the laws of God. Repentance toward God. And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. What a verse. We want to have faith he's going to pay my bills. We want to have faith he's going to get me a new car. We want to have faith I'm going to live a long time and be rich. No, dear friend. We need to be rich in faith. Rich in faith. Asking those things that look like an entire impossibility that it could ever be happening in the midst of our congregation. There's no way, no how. Well, God, would you march a leper through the door and let him tell the world, there's a redeemer in my soul. That just can't be. I love the Word of God. He's testified and he has taught this. Have you testified and taught this to anybody in the last year? Have you testified and taught this to you? Listen to me. God gave me something last night, last week, and this morning. And I hope that you can make a note of this. God's my witness, and Lord, help me to say it exactly the way it is and the way I mean it. I'm not trying to get outside the Word of God. Listen to me. If you think that I'm preaching for you to stand up and testify about God, listen to me very closely. You are mistaken. Okay? I want you, my friend, to have a mission for God. I want you to be so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friend, no matter what he tells you to do, no matter where you're at, my friend, you're going to move in obedience to the glory of God. Oh, don't worry. Your testifying will come, if that's in order. There's no sense in me trying to pry something out of you that's not in you. There's no sense in it. It won't accomplish anything for you or me or the church. But, my friend, if you have got a heart for Jesus, if you're so in love, my friend, that we have had repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and my friend, that we find ourselves so engulfed, that no, I don't have this to do for the flesh, but I must do this for the Spirit. I don't have to do this for mankind. I must do this for heaven. And my friend, that we can get past the outward man and see the inward man, for the true condition is really we pacify sin in our people's lives. The Bible teaches us that there is a time to every purpose under heaven. Okay, stay with me. I hope I can put all this together. There's a time and a purpose to every season under heaven. There's a time to weep. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gather stones. And there's a time to every purpose. Have you ever seen somebody that could not tell time? That means this. That means that the clock's on the wall, and they can't tell you that it's 9:30. They can't tell you that it's 9:45. They cannot tell time. They have never been taught to tell time. So when you see people embracing when they ought not to be embracing, you see people refraining from embracing when they ought to embrace, they cannot tell time. Do you see? Does this click? When we ought to gather stones, we're scattering them. When we ought to mourn, we're rejoicing. When we ought to rejoice, they cannot tell time. And when you look at somebody that can't tell time, and they begin to do something, it's out of order. It sticks out like a sore thumb. This is a fruit and an attribute. That if this light which be in you be darkness, how great is this darkness? Do you see it? Does it appeal to our consciousness? We made an action. We moved our physical lives in effort to do something that we appeared in our religious rhetoric to be right, but it was the wrong time. We didn't know how to tell time. I've seen people embrace sin when they should have pushed sin away. I've seen people push sin away when they should embrace sin. You can't tell time. And if you can't tell time, that must mean you cannot see what time it is. That more than likely you are in darkness. Sure, we can get snared and we can get tripped up, but it don't happen consecutively. Not to a child of God. My friend, I promise you this, that God will destroy the flesh to save the soul. If it so be that you are His and you get in such a condition, God will get you back. Or He'll destroy the body. That's the book. Let us run.
I stand amazed at the Word of God. It's so amazing. He says, and now. Let me ask you something. When will it be now in your life? I thought this morning as we sung the song, Ready. It's been a blessing in my mind and my memory how the morning that Sister Shirley came and my friend, she is able to testify. Lights came on all over the house. I'm ready. Let me ask you something. When in this world is it going to be time called now in your life? Now. When is it going to be now with you? No, wait. This is going to happen. Then it will be. No. This man's not going to Jerusalem of his own free will. He's going in obedience to the Holy Ghost of heaven. He is following God by faith. It is now time. In the journey of your life, when has the landscape changed? We get comfortable. We like this one doing this. We like that one doing that. This is my preacher. This is my deacon. This is, you know what we ought to do? Well, I'd turn over the apple cart big time. I need to get a whole truckload of boxes and start right back there at the back and set boxes on the pews until we get right up here back front, and everybody's got to sit right up here and right up here. No, we want to just barely, no offense to nobody in the back, we want to just barely get in the door. Get on our seat.
That's not just physically, I'm preaching to you spiritually.
It's true.
It's what we want.
Amen.
We always want to wait for somebody else to testify. One of them, like I like, then I'll say something. You don't have nothing but religion. You'll wake up in hell. Friend, listen to me. The landscape ought to change in our heart and in our mind because God is leading us somewhere. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. He's following God. He ain't got time for the whole church at Ephesus. I need to speak to the elders and I need to hear this and I need to be on my way. He wasn't into no emotional foolishness. He was there to work for God. He wasn't there to please men's persons. He was, my friend, exhorting these elders to watch over the house of God and who God has committed unto them to feed.
Amen.
Heaven, help me. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Might I confess something to you? I left my house this morning at 9:15. I got in the car. My friend, as I walked out the door, I locked it, had Bible in hand, and my friend, and I came to Crossroads bound to preach the Word of God. I didn't come for your money. At any time you want to revoke it, you're welcome to. I do my best to put it right back in. I am not interested in your money. I'm not interested in your person. I love you. I care for you. But I fear for your souls. Have you come bound in the Spirit of God to Jerusalem this morning? Are you with me? Child of God, does that strum the chords in your heart? Did you come bound to Jerusalem this morning? Do you understand it? Do you see it? Does it leap off the page and into you? Jerusalem is the kingdom of God. What did John see? Where's the kingdom of God at? It's right down in here. Did you come to Jerusalem this morning? Bound by the Spirit. With purpose of heart. For the work of God. He wasn't going to make any friends down there. He wasn't going to find liberty down there. Listen what the Bible says. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I see faith. I see somebody taking a journey of faith, not knowing what's in front of them. There's sometimes that God would unction you to do something in the everyday walk of life and you're not knowing it how well they're going to receive it. And my friend, because that you care much for the outward man and what that person will think about you, it will sequester what you're supposed to say for God. And the next thing you know, you're worried about the outside man a whole lot more than you are the inside man. Where's your ministry? What do you think to really have some joy over? Heaven help my soul, I pray. The Bible says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? I believe we should strive for the unity and the spirit and the bond of peace. I believe that's the word of God. I believe that. But Wayne, though I know you naturally in the flesh, I'm by the grace of God. I'm not going to let that get in the way. I prayed vehemently about you and Jason being deacons. Father and son on the board, it concerns me. I don't care a bit to tell the whole world. And I pray that God would be big enough in both of your hearts to stand on what God gives you and not what because it's daddy and not because it's son. I've got a relationship with David and with Rick, and I call them and I speak to them a lot and I love them dearly. Doesn't mean I don't love you any less, Wayne. Lord, it doesn't mean anything. God forbid that relationship get in the way of the work of God. So would I be willing that that be gone and done away with? That the work of the Spirit would go on? Amen. Count me a curse that the cause may be furthered. Are we there? Oh, it's easy said out of the mouth. It's easy thought in the mind. But he's our lives right there. For the work and for the ministry. That bonds. Bonds. Bonds wait for me there. There's places in your life that the Word of God has got in store for you to come out of my mouth. Bonds await me there. I love you. There's places in our lives that the Word of God has got for me to preach to you, and bonds await me there. But for the cause, I'll gladly go. Because God forbid that my outward man would mean more to me than my inward man. That the visible body of the church would mean more than the invisible body of the church. Some seeking to find their lives have lost it. And those willing to lose their lives for my name's sake have found it. Which side do you on? Which side are you on? Are you on the invisible side or the visible side? God help us. Preacher can't have one without the other. Yes, but God don't see like me and you see. Let us run. He says, and now I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. He didn't say M-O-V-E-D. He said move me. None of these things move me. There's sometimes in our lives that God will impression us to do something. And my friend, because we can't see the way clear about the outward man, they seem to move us. Instead of our hearts and our lives and our outward man being moved by the Spirit of God, the circumstances of following God seem to move us more than the leadership of God. Are you with me? Do you hear me? The suspicions of what people will think many times causes our bodies to obey that more than what God would have us to do. Are you following me? My friend, none of these things moved him. None of them. Because he had a ministry. Do you really have a ministry? You better be more than a preacher's wife. You better be more than a deacon's wife. You better be more than a church member. You better be more. Because you see, my friend, that's on the outside. And it be the Spirit of God and only the Spirit of God that signifies the other. God, help our hearts. Listen on. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That'll preach till Jesus comes. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I buried a 58-year-old man yesterday. 58 years old. I buried a 52-year-old woman a month ago. I promise you this, friend. Death's coming for us all. And why do we count our lives dear unto ourselves? Because of this, and I fear it greatly, that it is all that you have. When someone is so concerned and so involved with one thing, they have that desire. Their actions and their motions of their life, you can see it following their desire. And when you see people following after their desires, and you see the look on their face when they are achieving their desires, you can see whether or not that they are godly or ungodly. Because I've seen people's faces. I've seen your faces glow. Wow, I love you. I ain't going to hurt you. I've seen your faces just light up when a certain preacher walks in the house. Amen. You love the man more than you do the message. You see, your desires are getting met, but they're superficial. That's all you've got. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contented, God, wherever you have for me, whatever you have me to do. If it's to sit in the back and pray, if it's to run to the altar every service, if it's to sing, whatever it is to do, God, I'll be content to do it. But God, I must have your Spirit. So now we come in, the bell rings, we sing the songs, we do all that. Where's the Spirit of God led you today? What portion of the... Do you understand being made kings and priests unto God? You remember what the priests did in the Old Testament? You remember their duties and their job? They conducted the very physical worship of God. It was the congregation of the rest of the tribes that sat and observed. Remember the way it was set up? Read it, study it. I lie you not. But if we've been made kings and priests unto our God, then guess what? There's more to worshiping God than observing the preacher that's on his feet. The teacher that's on his feet. The singers that sing. And there's more than just sitting there. How about tomorrow? How about yesterday? Where we're finding ourselves praying for the worship of God, being bound in the Spirit, that God might lead somebody to repentance. Let us go. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. Do you know why that you can't finish your course with joy? Because you count your life too dear to you. Amen, oh me. Friend, when we are constantly concerned with the outward man, his well-being and his reception in the conscience of people around the house of God, to where that we feign ourselves to be something that we're not really. But when we get down to the serious business and worship God out of the heart and led by the Spirit, you'll find yourself to be a part of a bride. You can't make yourself fit in the kingdom of God. It's a place called submission and repentance. I find myself there a lot. I marvel at the long-suffering and the mercies of God toward me. I know there is no good thing in my flesh. I know there's not. Listen on to the Word of God. Where's your ministry? He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry, never get this preached, which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Be careful. I'm going to leap off the page. Listen to me. Which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. How did they overcome? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My friend, your neighbor that lives right beside you, have you told them about Jesus? Have you told them, my friend, how He rules and reigns in your life? The people in the grocery store, the gas station,
My friend, wherever it shall be your shop, my friend, when have you been testified about God?
Surely you told somebody. Did we invite somebody to church today? No, we got my four and we don't want no more. Don't understand it. This man is going back to his city. And there's nothing but bonds await him there. But he goes that he might finish his course.
We've heard it said to us over and over, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You can't finish if you can quit.
Have there been times I've wanted to do this right here? I'm going to the house. You know what I find myself doing? I find myself going back way. On my knees, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have shut my eyes, God, and just pressed forward. Should have stopped my ears, oh Lord, and pray and pray and pray. You know why people don't pray at the house of God? Because they don't pray at home. Gospel, eternal truth. You know why people, my friend, don't testify in the house of God? Because they don't testify at home. Our testimony is like a shield. My friend, when the great armies in the Bible days, and they looked out and they could hear the sound of a marching army, is that the Medes? Is that the Syrians? You know what they'd look at? Look at their shield. Oh no, that's the Romans! The Roman shield was incredible. It'd lock them together and it'd almost be impenetrable, though their enemy couldn't get in. My friend, do you understand what it's like when God fills you up and it runs out of your life so fast? You know what that's going to do? That's going to take this heart and it's going to tie it to that heart. It's such a locking, binding matter. Where that when the fiery darts of hell come together, you know what happens? It don't hit her, it don't hit me, but it hits that shield. Why? Because I know what God has done there. You realize how vitally important it is, my friend, that them that are in the trench with you in this great fight of faith know whose side you're on. They know, listen, there's not a shadow of a doubt in my soul that you don't know each other's outer man. I believe you know each other. I believe that I could see you a long ways off and I would recognize who you are on the outward person. But I didn't come today to preach to your flesh. God didn't gather you and I today to instruct our carnal man. But he's come to preach to our inward man. And would we recognize from house to house? Should we say up front? And I hear somebody in the back, they begin to stand up and weep and they're testifying and I don't even recognize the voice. I got to turn around and see. Would that be the case with you? Or would Connor know it just like that? Would David recognize it just like that? Not the voice, the spirit. Where is your ministry? Do we count our lives more dear to us than we'd like to admit? Amen, oh me. We do. We'll feed him, we'll sleep him, we'll doctor him, we'll comb his hair, we'll shave his face, we'll do all these things. How did you prepare your inward man for today? Was he able to get a little foretaste of the service this morning before you left your house? Did he go up through the doors with great anticipation of who might be here? I thought about old Julie. Oh, God, bring them to the house of God. Do we count our lives dear? Or is finishing our course that I might get to go home to be with my God the most important thing on the menu? I want my 70. If I can get my 70, I'll be all right. Some of us have got it and still want more. I want to finish my course. I want that when my days have expired, I want my course to be accomplished. With joy, I can close my eyes. Lord, I've got fewer friends now than when I started. But I thank you for the joy and the journey of serving you. Where's your ministry? When is it going to be now in your life? When are you going to finally, absolutely, completely commit to God for the ministry you believe He's placed you in? Rest in my seats. Thank you.